You're listening to the We Lead Well podcast, where well-being matters. The show is brought to you in partnership with Progressive Masculinity and headteacherchat.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the We Lead Well podcast. I'm Vicky Maguire. I'm an education and leadership coach. I support schools, multi-academy trusts, local authorities to use coaching to support school improvement. And I do that in a number of ways. I do one-to-one coaching with school leaders and head teachers. I do group coaching programs and team coaching for senior leadership teams. I also support the creation of teaching and learning coaching communities in schools. And I've created the Women Lead Well group coaching program and the Women Lead Well Network to support female school leaders. If you would be interested in finding out more about any of those programs that I do, including the leadership training that I do via the Resilient Leaders Elements, you can get in touch with me. It's vicky@weleadwell.co.uk if you want to email me, or you can visit the website. It's www.weleadwell.co.uk. I'm just thinking my son would probably call me a boomer for using the www, because apparently you don't need that on the start of a website anymore. But I know I am getting older, so he probably is right. So I'm really excited to say that on the show today we have got the fantastic John McGee. John is the kindness coach, and he has founded Kindness Matters. He's been teaching kindness and well-being to school children and teachers for the last 13 years, and he is absolutely brilliant. He started doing what he's doing now in quite unfortunate circumstances, actually, after the credit crunch of 2008, and he lost his family business. His marriage broke down, he was bankrupt, and that led to severe depression for John. But after being given an opportunity by a community business partner and Darwin Community Academy head teacher to speak at an event called Inspiring Communities, he actually has never looked back. And now he works all around the world delivering talks and training on how we can be more kind, not only for pupils, but for staff in schools as well. So it's amazing to welcome John to the show today. I am sure that you're going to enjoy this interview. So here he is, John McGee. John McGee, UK Schools Kindness Ambassador. How are you today? It's great to have you on the show finally.
Absolutely fantastic. I've not spoken to you for ages. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to speaking to you and all your listeners today. And I can tell with the vibe, it's going to be an absolutely fantastic podcast, is this?
Amazing. So can you start us off by just introducing yourself to the listener and telling them a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yep. So I'm John McGee. I am the UK Kindness Ambassador for Schools. I'm a best-selling author of Kindness Matters. I deliver super learning days for children in primary schools. I also speak in high schools to key stage 3 and 4. And I also deliver staff training around mental health and well-being with my new book that's coming out with Bloomsbury in March the 2nd, something called The Happy Tank. And you know why it's important to fill our happy tank.
Oh, amazing. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about that later. So yeah. Let's start off, because kindness is, that is what your whole philosophy is about, isn't it? Everything you do is based on the concept of kindness or the value of kindness. So can you tell us how you would define kindness and why it's so important to you?
I can, and you know, many of your listeners will find this probably quite surprising, because they do want to deliver staff insights. It's like you see the whole room within education, it's as if their heads fall off. Because I sort of draw them in a little bit. I delivered some staff training to two primary schools, one in Wigan and one in Atherton. They came together just last week. Worsley Mains and Meadowbank Primary, and it's great to have like 100 educators, you know, back in the saddle, you know, dark nights, gloomy, we've all eaten too much, drank too much, we've all got bills, utility prices are going through the roof. So you could say that the mental health was shot at a bit back to normality.
Yeah.
It was normalizing that we're all in the same boat, you know, and just, you know, sharing that experience. And I think they were all shocked when I asked the room of amazing educators who were really passionate about the, you know, the well-being of not just the children, everybody in their care. They were really shocked when I went around the room and said, you know, what you've just, that question you've just asked about, you know, kindness. And everybody tends to say the same thing, and it always tends to be externally referenced. You know, my partner, the kids in the class, my pet, the little old dear who walks down the street that lives around the corner from me. And you very rarely get anybody in a room of 20, 100, 300 people that say themselves. And then that's when we dive deep. And, you know, it's what I call Rich in Kindness, which is a book I'm currently scaffolding and writing to come out at some point in the next year or two. And the first step in these six steps to kindness is, number one is yourself. You've got to start with yourself, and it's not selfish. It's so foreign. It's so foreign to us all to
start.
Well,
it absolutely is, isn't it? Because we're actually really unkind to ourselves a lot of the time, aren't we? You know, the way we treat ourselves or the way that we speak to ourselves, we would never dream of speaking to anybody else like that, most of us. And I think, you know, when we talk about being kind to ourselves, it's a funny one, because people will say they value kindness. And I always say in the work that I do with school leaders, if something is your value, then you have to live by that value. You know, you have to, it has to underpin everything that you do. And it's interesting because honesty is one of them. People always say honesty, or it's one of my top values. And then they struggle with challenging conversations. They can't be honest with people because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings or whatever it might be. But it's the same with kindness, it sounds like, isn't it? That people are viewing kindness and saying, oh, I really value kindness. I want to be a kind person. But it's all external. It's seen in how you respond to other people, how you take care of others, how you're in service to others, and how you look after them. Rather than, like you say, starting off by being kind to yourself. And it's almost like that's quite... I think that's a bit of a light bulb moment for me in terms of how I say that about honesty and then valuing kindness. If you value kindness, if you're living by that value, you've got to be kind to yourself.
100%. You really have. And it's what Dr. Stephen Covey talks about in his book, which I read many years ago, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yes.
And he talks about a paradigm shift, you know, and it is that internal paradigm shift, where a paradigm is the way we see the world, you know, but it's not just the world, it's how we see ourselves. And it's, you know, as you know, I can rattle off hundreds of quotes. If we don't live by them and make them part of our daily makeup, then they don't work. It's, you know, it's habit forming, which I'm looking forward to sharing with you and your listeners today. It's what I call happy habits. And it's forming those habits, those really good healthy habits, happy habits, that when we do on a continuous basis, repeatedly every day, that then we start to stack them up, and that's how we get well-being. It has to be a daily practice.
I love that, because I've read Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is brilliant about building habits. And then another one that someone recommended to me is called Tiny Habits, and it's by BJ Fogg. And it's really, really interesting about the bit I'm on at the minute is about linking small changes to things that you already do already. So you sort of tack things on. But you're saying happy habits, different ways in which you change the habits of how you talk to yourself. It's not easy, that, either, is it? Because people have got into the habit of being unkind to themselves, punishing themselves in the way that they work, their, you know, their work-life balance, feeling guilty about things. You know, we've built these habits of negative self-talk, and it's not easy to to change that, is it? And to start, it can feel icky to some people, can't it? You know, being nice to yourself, looking at there's Brené Brown book that I've read as well, that she talks about high-fiving yourself in the mirror. I think it's the high five habit, she calls it, and she says every day when you wake up, high five yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
And it feels a bit awkward at first, but it's that big yourself up, isn't it? It's that, you know, give yourself the credit that you give other people. But it's not
100%.
easy, not easy to change your habits, is it?
Yeah, well, one of my greatest inspirations was a lovely lady, the late great Louise Hay. And she's a beautiful, kind human being who had a horrific childhood. And she was the queen of affirmations. And I share a lot of her teachings in my training, and I've modeled a lot of her training because the impact it has is phenomenal. And I've over the years, when I used to have time to counsel and coach people personally one to one, would bring in the mirror work. And the mirror work is like what you said, where you go up to the mirror and you tell your inner child how much you love, little Vicky. And it's hard work. There's tears, and there's you ripping layers off, you're ripping band-aids off that really hurt. And I delivered it in my training, like I said, a few weeks ago, just teaching the teaching staff. I said, how often do we give ourselves praise? We can praise others, can't we? Really easy. But when was the last time you went into the mirror when you'd done something really good? You might have delivered a fantastic lesson. You might have been a new head teacher or an SLT member, and you delivered a really good talk at an inset, and you thought, do you know what? I smashed that out of the park. But when did you go up to the mirror and just said to yourself, do you know what? You were amazing today. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with giving yourself that praise. There
And
really isn't.
that's the thing, John, isn't it? Because it's the recognizing that it's okay to say those affirming, to compliment yourself, to praise yourself, because people often see that as boastful, bragging. You know, they don't want to, well, you know, don't really big myself up too much. There's a sense of if you do that, it's not being humble. You know, and it's about learning that it's good to praise yourself, because you praise other people, that at the end of the day, you would say these things to other people. It's about learning to be like that with yourself, isn't it?
100%. And as teachers and leaders in education, isn't that what we are? We're teachers. So when we learn something that can add value to our life, why would we not want to teach that to others? We're in a privileged role to teach others this information. But as you and I know, with the education system that's not changed since the back end of the Second World War, something's got to change. I'm very blessed because we have hundreds of Kindness Matter schools. So what's a Kindness Matter school? I am absolutely blessed to have head teachers and SLT and teachers throughout schools that get it now, that get that when you get the well-being of children right, so their head's not too busy of all this stuff that might be going on at home, there might be a lack or whatever, they've just got stuff going on. When we can get their well-being right and make them children feel safe and cared for, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I'll tell you what, you'll get your maths, you'll get your literature, you'll get your spelling. It'll all just fall into place because you can't teach a busy mind. You've got to be able to get it be settled, feel safe. And then those children will just learn at their best. But we've got to take care of the well-being first. And it's amazing because I never got this at school. Mine was shut up, or you get the board rubber thrown at you, or you were stood against the wall with your nose against the wall. Or I got the pump, I got the cane, I got I got the ruler on my fingers. What's all that about? And I know that doesn't happen today, but it did back then. And you don't forget that trauma.
Yeah, but
But even
there are
to
elements of that that still happen today in some schools, in the way
that's exactly what I was going to come on to.
that teachers are with young people, you
Yeah,
know, the way they speak
100%.
to them or the way they are
100%.
with them.
100%. Another one, and I'll bring it back to staffing sets. I do a lot of role play and I make the teachers laugh. But I tell you what, there's a couple that sit there and they shrug because, they're doing their best, but they're not really realizing that the best is not good enough. Because if you're teaching in a certain way that you're making a child feel frightened, maybe by your tone, your body language, or how you might single that child out in a group of 30 kids, it's a minefield, let's be honest. But that's why we have our staff training, whether it's with me, you drew Porvis or anybody like that. It's just to really reflect, have that awareness around your teachers, isn't it?
And that's what it is. It's developing the awareness, because some teachers are not aware of it. And that's like, we have to be kind also with those members of staff and recognise that that's a pattern that they've got into, and that's something that they've developed as a way of working with the children without probably realizing some of the harm that they might be causing. I think one of the things that you taught, and I think it's important then to recognize that and train staff differently to actually open up and have those conversations. I think one of the problems is that a lot of senior leadership teams are not courageous enough initially to have the conversations with the member of staff. And it's brilliant that you're going into schools and putting that in an open forum where you can deliver the training and you can teach the staff a different way of doing things. I think it's important though, for me, kindness starts with all of the things you're talking about there as well, with staff, creating a safe environment for staff, you know, making staff feel cared for, because staff can't teach when their heads are full of all this stuff that's going on, or if they're worried that they're going to be in trouble for something, or they've not got their planning ready and their head's going to, you know, berate them for not having their planning in on time, or whatever it might be. Like, all those things apply to teachers, don't they? And I think that one of the main things in terms of kindness, the book Radical Candor by Kim Scott is a brilliant book. I don't know if you've read it, but she talks about how being honest is being kind. It's not kind to just let teachers carry on teaching like that when it might be damaging the pupils' well-being or education. That having those honest conversations with staff and being open and transparent creates safety for staff, because they know if there's a problem, if there's an issue, they will have a conversation about it. And then they don't have to constantly think there's going to be someone at some point who's going to, you know, that they're going to be in trouble for something. I've waffled on a lot there, but I think that's the, it's important, isn't it, that we apply the same things that we're applying to the children, to the staff, because at the end of the day, everybody in a school is a human being.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm speaking at a number of, I'm very blessed this year, I'm speaking at a number of head teacher conferences, which is like, honestly, I'm just so grateful. And, you know, such a privilege to be in a room with hundreds of head teachers from different communities and local authorities, and for them to go forth and multiply and pay it forward. I mean, I've not got all the answers, but I am very in touch with my authentic self. And if just one head teacher just takes something positive from what I share in a, you know, half day conference or an hour and a half keynote, happy days. But yeah, I've got over 100 head teachers that I'm going to be speaking to just next month, which is phenomenal. And they're all on the same wavelength as us. They get it. They just want to get on with the work and support the kids and take care of the mental health and well-being. It's just a shame that it took so many years. I mean, back in the day in 2008, when I was banging this drum, people were like, oh, it's all that warm and fuzzy woo-wah stuff, John. Kindness, that warm and fluffy stuff. And they once said it laughed at me, but I got a few jabs, you know what I mean? And they were like, nah, Johnny, lad, it'll never take off that. I'm like, what do you mean take off? It's part of who we are. It's part of all of us. It's part of our makeup. We need to tap into it. And then we need to, you know, once we know, like I said, back to self first. So you can't teach it unless you've gone through the experience yourself. It's as simple as that. You know, it's really important to start with yourself.
So you were talking about head teachers there, and I did want to ask you, because there are a lot of school leaders who listen to the programme, and I was talking, wasn't I? You talked about the children, and then I talked about the staff, for being kind to the staff. But then I think it's important that there's kindness on the leadership team as well. And that does start with self. And some leadership teams, you know, they're overworked, they've got too many responsibilities, probably their mental health is not where it should be. I mean, I ended up suffering from a burnout. It was, you know, my well-being and mental health was not good. So what would you recommend senior leaders, head teachers do in order to look after their own well-being? That's what the We Lead Well podcast is essentially about, that leading well, because you can't lead well unless you're well. Do you know what I mean? It's like a So what advice would you give?
Well, I can give you what I give to every senior leadership team, and that this is also for you as well, Vicky, and for anybody out there, because when we're passionate about something, this is the trap we fall into. And I've had it myself back in 2005 when I got burnout, when my marriage broke down, I was fighting bankruptcy, and I had to tell the kids that daddy wasn't going to be living in the same house, and they had two houses, and I had that burnout. But through my own research and reading lots of books and looking at people who were great leaders and who were very passionate about the well-being of everybody, I picked up the difference that makes the difference. And I'm going to hold you accountable to this today. So for anybody listening to this, obviously I still do a bit of coaching. I can only have a handful of clients because, running as a managing director of Kindness Matters, I still go out on the front line, deliver super learning days. I'm nearly bloody 50. You know what I mean? That's I put my cap on. I get a,
I.
I put my cap on, and it takes about 20 years off me. I get away with it still with kids, and we have some right banter. Now I'm doing staff conferences for teachers,
You'd never know. He looks, honestly, listeners, he looks like he's about 38, I'd say,
You're
not a day above.
too kind. And I share this, and honestly, this is the difference that makes a difference. And this is what I would share whether I was coaching a chief exec, a teacher, or anybody in a senior leadership role, because it is a trap we all fall into, every single human being. And I've been there, and I've been in that dark hole, and it's not a nice place. That feeling is not a nice feeling, and it is like a grey cloud in a dark hole, and you can't dig your way out of it. The good news is I found out how to dig my way out of that dark hole, and once you get out of it, you never go back into it. And it's two things that I teach, which is this. First one is time blocking. You've got to learn how to time block. Every time I teach this in insets, I'm not just saying it, their heads fall off. They can't believe that it's been there looking at them in the face. So I'm a great storyteller, and I'll tell stories around. Isn't it easier? We can book an hour to go up doctor. Or if you've got toothache, you won't miss that dentist appointment, will you? Because your tooth's hurting, isn't it? Or if you've got to go out with friends and family, Sunday roast, 2 hours on a Sunday, you won't miss that, will you? Well, just imagine what would happen if every day you found 1 hour just to yourself, and you put it in your calendar like you wouldn't miss a dentist appointment, a family appointment, a meeting with your head teacher. You wouldn't miss that, would you? So why would you not put in minimum of 1 hour every day? Now, I talk about The Miracle Morning, which is a fantastic book by Hal Elrod, who endorsed my book, Kindness Matters. And he talks about getting up an hour in the morning, and you do your affirmations, you do your yoga, whatever type of exercise. Not everybody's a morning person. I get that. I'm currently coaching a chief exec of a big football club at the moment who's been through challenging times like we all have through COVID. Time blocking has radically changed his marriage, his whole team. He has about 48 staff in his team. His life personally, his relationship with his kids, all down to this time blocking. Now, because he couldn't do it in the morning, couldn't do it at night, he's found a time in the afternoon. He does half an hour in the afternoon where he'll leave the club, he sticks his headphones on, and he goes to the local country park, doesn't answer his phone, and he puts on a podcast and he just walks. And that's what he gives back to himself. And that's that self thing, giving it back to yourself. And we've got to find what is it that fills what I call our happy tank, starting with ourselves. Is it a walk? Is it reading a book? Is it having a nice bath? Is it going to a yoga class? I don't know what it is. Is it just sitting in silence at morning by yourself, having a brew and having an hour to yourself? I don't know what it is. What I do know is because we are creatures of habit, we've got to start forming these happy habits, and it starts with time blocking. That's the first thing you've got to do is block that time out.
Sounds amazing. And I've started doing that on my calendar. It's in banana yellow, and I just put block, and I've got that space, so I know when. And I know as well when it's my time of the month. I know I need a bit less on, so I block a bit more out on those days because I know that I don't have the same levels of energy. However, I'm going to say, do you not get pushback when you say that? Do you get kickback from some members of SLT who say, I can't, there's no way I can block out an hour. My time's just too busy. I've got too much on, I've got too much work. I just can't find the time for it.
I think the only little bit of resistance I get, and it's very rare, because then I just go into role play. I get them up. I say, "Come on, get to the front. Let's have a bit of fun," and then we'll start doing a bit of acting. So I'm coaching them live in front of the demo, in front of everybody, because I love working outside my comfort zone. Because you know, there's no growth in comfort, and the comfort
No.
zone's where dreams go to die. So there's no growth. You won't grow. So I get them out the front because I like to work outside my comfort zone myself, and I'll just do it live because I know I'll do it from the heart. And it's surprising. And then what they walk away with, they'll go, "Well, I could squeeze in half an hour. Who can't find half an hour?" So it's that compromise then. And it's that thing, isn't it? Go gentle with yourself. Life's very unpredictable. You know, one of the greatest illusions in life is that we're going to get tomorrow. We only get
Yeah.
one day at a time. We get one day at a time. So just imagine what would happen if just for today, just live for today. It's a prayer, they say in Reiki, when you learn your Reiki stuff, you know, just for today. That's all you get is today. So that's why it's important that when we form these habits daily, we just focus on today. You know, you don't need to, I know we have to get, when we're in the matrix or we're in the workload, we have to plan the week, plan the term, plan the academic year. But yeah, we have to work on three time frames in my business. I have my tax year, and my
Yeah.
academic year, I have my January to December year, and I'm
Don't talk
thinking,
about tax. I've just
I
got my
know, don't
tax
talk to me
bill.
about that. Yeah, we've all had them bad boys, haven't we?
That's
So,
something I never got when I was working in schools. Anyway, that's by
yeah,
the
we have to
by.
learn that, don't we? So it's that one day at a time, Vicky, and very little resistance in staff training or delivering this to senior leaders, because we can all find, you know, let's be honest with yourself, who can't find, if you accept that giving yourself half an hour just to yourself a day can improve your relationship with your partner, your intimate partner. It can improve your relationships at work. It can improve your relationships with the children you teach. Most of all, it can improve the relationship with your good self. Who wouldn't want more of that? And it's dead simple. It's habit forming. It's blocking that time to yourself every day. And once we do that, because we are creatures of habit, we will get that well-being. We, because we're giving that back to ourselves. We're starting with ourselves first, and that's where we've always got to self. So me, I'm a morning person. I accept that not everybody is, but for those who are, bang, get on it in the morning. And if you're not a morning person, find that time that's right for you. But go gentle with yourself. So I don't know, this chief executive does it at 12:30 in the afternoon, because when he gets home to daddy duties and he's got to support his wife and the children after having a bonkers day, he's tired when he gets home. He just wants to put his feet up, sort the kids out, you know, support his wife, and then prep him for the next day, you know. But he's found that time at 12:30 to 1 o'clock. And I hold him accountable. So another thing that I'm going to bring you on to now for any of your listeners or for yourself is this, is to find yourself what's called an accountability partner. So what's an accountability partner? Let's say you wanted to eat healthier. So then you'd ask a friend who wants to do the same. And every week you have a call, you pencil in time block, half an hour to catch up on Zoom and just have a chat. And you hold each other accountable. And what you do every week, you set yourself three MVPs. So what are MVPs? Most valuable priorities. So you said, "This week, I'm going to put more greens into my nutrition. So every meal, I'm going to maybe have a stick of broccoli, a runner bean, whatever." Just giving you an example. "And I'm going to do my best to drink 2 liters of water, even though I'm going to be bursting for a wee when I'm teaching that lesson. But that wee's reminding me that I'm drinking enough water and I'm hydrated and I'm grateful that I've got clean running water." So you set these three MVPs and every week you meet. So I meet and I say, "Right," and you're flexible and it's fun. You make fun out of it. And, "Hi, Vicky, how did you get on since last week?" "Oh, I smashed two out of my three." And you just support each other and you get yourself an accountability partner. And number one that you hold yourself accountable to is your time blocking. Is your time blocking, because in your time blocking, it becomes a cascade of your three MVPs then, because you're blocking that time, aren't you, to what's important to you and giving that back to yourself. And I can, from my heart, honestly say this, seeing how this has transformed thousands of educators' lives once they get into the habit forming. So if you think, oh, it's going to get put onto the back burner, or it's going to end up at the bottom of that to-do list, and you're not eating the frog, as they say, then guess what? You need an accountability partner, and you support each other, and you ask someone, and you tell them why, and you said, you know why I've chosen you? Because you inspire me, and I know I can hold you accountable, and we can both win from this. So then you're not just supporting your own well-being, you've got a friend, and you're supporting each other. And at the end of the day, we're social animals, aren't we? We grow from working with others. And it's beautiful to see. Honestly, there's just it's a beauty to see the growth in it.
Before we hear more from John, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our brilliant networking partner, Head Teacher Chat. Head Teacher Chat discusses lots of topics, from how to support pupils with learning, how to support parents, and the many issues that come with leading a school. The aim of Headteacher Chat is to support headteachers and school leaders who are in a challenging and often lonely role. They do this by offering lots of information for schools to tap into. For example, they have lots of fantastic education companies on their database for leaders to discover, as well as leadership templates to download. They've written product reviews for leaders who are looking for products for their school. And this year, they've even launched the very first School Leader Planner, especially designed to help leaders to be productive and organised. If you'd like to hear more about Headteacher Chat, you can find them on their website at www.headteacherchat.com. Headteacher Chat, it's what headteachers are talking about. Now let's get back to the interview. And I think as well, if you've got an accountability partner, you can have a little accountability WhatsApp group, can't you? And if you're feeling like, I think what you're saying chimes with me, because this at the moment I am trying to eat more healthily. I'm trying to get more fruit and veg and nutrition, more protein into my diet, because I do have a bit of a bad habit of looking for a quick sugary fix, you know, if I'm busy. And I think that would really help me. I've just thought, which friend could I have as an accountability partner to help me with this? So I could just text, I really want to, you know, go and look in the fridge, or I really want to have a snack, you know, just send me some reassurance that I don't need to do it, or whatever it might be. You can even have that on a sort of daily ongoing basis, can't you? Before you have that conversation.
100%. I remember reading a book many years ago, and I bought this book for many people. It was called Harmonic Wealth. James Arthur Ray, and he talks about, you know, spiritual, relationship, you know, financial, these five pillars, you know, and then they can never all be at the, you know, at the 10, the maximum, because you've got the flux, haven't you, with life getting in the way. But this is the same, right? We've got to ask ourselves and be really honest with ourselves. So I'm a big fan of journaling. I journal every day. I smash it out. Jim Rohn journal. They've gone up to 40 quid now. I used to get them for a tenner, but I love me journaling, because I leave them behind. And he was a great leader, was Jim Rohn. And he talks about how much growth we get from journaling, because your journal's like your mirror. There's only you that sees it. And when you do your reflective practice and you go over a week or last year, so I have them, like, I can jump into mine from this day 8 years ago, exactly what I was doing on this day. And it's phenomenal to see your progress. It's absolutely phenomenal. So what we've got to do is just got to be honest with our authentic selves. And that's the key word, our authentic self, you know, tapping into us. And one of the ways I do this, which is what I model from Louise Hay's work, is I look in the mirror and I address myself. Because I know I've got a little John McGee that lives inside of me that just wants loving. And I just said to my little John, what can I do today to make you happy? And it takes time and it takes practice, because you think, am I going bonkers talking in this mirror? And Louise A says it. You'll say things in mirror. You've got to set yourself, do you know what? You look beautiful today. And she goes, you hear this voice saying, who are you kidding? And it's true. But that's your self-talk. That's the ego. And the ego is edging goodness out. If it's not a good thought, it's the ego. Because here's the trick, which most people don't understand. We get to choose our own thoughts. And one of the best ways to choose your own thoughts is finding an affirmation that works for you, which you and I were talking about before, Vicky. It's finding what works for you. So you look in the mirror, Vicky, what can I do today to make you happy? Vicky, what do I need to do to make our well-being at its optimum? And then what you do is you break those categories down. So I'll give you an example. If you wanted better nutrition, find somebody who's an accountability partner who has got the same values and beliefs as you, basically wants the same goal as you. If you want to be a better entrepreneur, find someone who you respect as an entrepreneur and ask them and say, look, would you be willing to jump on a call once a week? There's your second accountability partner. You might want to get fitter at gym and just, you know, put on, get a bit of muscle. Find an accountability partner that loves going to gym. And it's about setting them things that are important to you so that you're supporting each other. And it's the same with SLT. If you're an SLT member and you've got someone you look up to, look at the beauty of Twitter. Jump on a DM in Twitter and say, look, I've watched your tweets for a while. Would you hold me accountable to this? Or build that relationship. Or it might just be somebody in your team at school where you want to support each other. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a great guy who I think deserves an MBE. He's called Ben Brown. He set up something called Education Roundtables. Same deputy head teacher, breakdown, won't come out of his room for months. If it wasn't for his wife, fair to say, might not still be alive. Really dark hole that he ended up in. Same again, ultimate burnout. Just before the lockdown, formed education roundtables for head teachers and senior leaders to come together in a safe space nationally and bleh, just get it off the chest. In a safe space that stays in that space and to support each other. I have never seen anything more powerful than that, what he's put together. To see, you know, your Chris Dysons, you know, your Kirsty Stubbs, a tattooed head teacher, all these different leaders coming together from different demographics from around the UK to do one thing, to support each other through a global pandemic, the stress and the red tape they have to put up with day in, day out. And I've just seen what that's done. You know, them having accountability and form them relationships to help each other. So when Ofsted's coming in, or have they got this in place, or there's been, this has happened, or the local authority, really powerful, Vicky.
And I think that a lot of senior leadership teams have, this idea just came into my head then, so I'm going to share it with you and see what you think. Senior leadership teams have a morning briefing. They all get together at 8 o'clock, and wouldn't it be great in that meeting? And I don't know if anybody does it. I'd love to hear from the listeners if they know of anybody who does, to ask the question, how can we support each other today? As a team, what do we need to do to support each other? What a great question that would be to ask, wouldn't it? I think back and think, wow, if I'd have sat in a senior leadership team meeting in the morning and the head had said, right, what do we need to do to support each other today? And we could have had a, well, I've got this on, so is there anybody who could help me with that? I might just need someone to ask me how I'm doing, or I'm going to be really busy. Would somebody be able to bring me a cup of tea? And not be afraid to ask those things. That, I think that's one of the ways you can create that team, isn't it? The feeling of the team. And I'm doing some team coaching this afternoon. What I've recognised with teams is that often in schools, they work in isolation. It's not a team. It's a group of individuals who each has their own responsibility that they're getting on with. And they come together sometimes to meet and share some ideas, but they're not a cohesive team. They don't work together. And I think that that's possibly one of the reasons why in a school, in a senior leadership team, it can be very stressful and have an impact on you. Your mental health. And just to ask that question in the morning, I think would be really powerful. What do you think?
100%. And I'm same again, I'm very blessed because I do know a lot of schools that I work in, because I'm same again, when I go to speaking schools, whether I'm delivering super learning days for kids, I always go into the staff briefing. I love it. I love you modeling. So if I'm like, you know, if I say something, I'll magpie it. If I see a teacher say something and I watch the response from, you know, from everybody sat in the meeting, and I think, oh, I'm having that for when I'm in my next school. I've come up with that one. I'm just modeling. If I see something that I know is going to, you know, impact me and impact others, I share it, because sharing's caring.
Yeah.
So I do get to see it. I do get to see it when I'm in these different SLT meetings, when I'm in the schools and they bring me in and they brief, you know, John's the kindness coach, he's a friend of mine, he's, you know, you've done the kindness match 30-day challenge, blah, blah, blah. So I do see it. So I don't know if it's, you know, it's the old energy flows where attention goes. I don't know if it's just because what I see going into, you know, our Kindness Matters schools, but I can say that schools are getting better at it, or they're just they're good at it. Because when I go in, I do see these or hear these questions that you're asking now, you know, or I do hear questions like, you know, if anybody's out of sorts today, something's got on, you know, you can go and speak to X, or I'm here, my door is open. And that's another thing I'm seeing in a lot of primary schools is head teachers' doors open, unless they've got a Zoom meeting or an important meeting with local authority. Doors are open. It's an open door policy, which is speaks volumes, doesn't it, really? Speaks volumes.
And I think that there's an opportunity to, when you're saying, you know, if you're struggling with something today, if you just need someone to talk to, go and see this person. It doesn't always have to be the head teacher. That load can be shared amongst the SLT. Because I coach a lot of people who say most of my time in the day, or a significant amount of the time, I've got a big to-do list. But when I'm there sitting in my office, people are knocking on the door. Have you got a minute? Have you got a minute? Because, yeah, I suppose as the head teacher, you're the person who people look to and think, I'll go and speak to the head teacher. But if you can share that load amongst the senior leaders and you get the time as a head teacher when you say to your team, I need some time today to do this, is there somebody who can be there if staff have got any concerns, struggles or whatever? Because that's something that I think a lot of senior leaders, I did struggle with, especially if you are that type of leader who people trust and feel like they can come and talk to, and you believe in kindness. You spend a lot of your time. Someone knocks on the door, if you've got 5 minutes, turns into 45 minutes. You've not had time then to, I don't know, plan your lesson, prepare your stuff for a meeting or whatever, and it can be quite stressful. But that, I think that sense of sharing the load is a really good idea, actually. Yeah,
you just inspired me. I just heard something in my head just rattle about. No, seriously, because, you know, communication is a fundamental key to success, you know. So, you know, I'm an NLP trainer. I teach NLP. I teach people how to become life coaches when I used to have the time. So I just, it goes in my training now. And the thing is, people always say when you're like teaching them the communication model or the Mercedes model, they go, oh my word, so you can read minds. And I'll say, listen, as long as I've got an awl in my backside, I'll never be able to read anybody's mind. I'm half decent at my job. You know what I mean? And it's true, because they think you can read their minds and stuff when they see the psychology of how we think and behave, and our emotions, you know, are a function of our behavior. So imagine if any senior leaders were listening to this now, and the linguistic reframe that just came in my head where you just inspired me was this: making time for time blocking. Making time for time blocking. So this is on a different level to your PPA. No. So if you're an assistant head or, you know, a middle leader, you go to your head teacher and say, look, I'm very passionate about what I do. I need this time to time block. You know, so if I've got for example, a note on my door, I need to just be left alone in peace to do it. And then it's the same again, it's back to that habit forming then, isn't it? It's making sure you're accountable to yourself or to another member of staff that you're doing that.
Yes. And if the whole team is doing it, if it's a team thing, 100%. Then you don't feel guilty. Because
no.
I've got to be honest with you, once I decided I needed some space in the day, I think it was when I was an assistant head, and I thought, I'm going to take the book that I'm reading. I always have a book by my bedside. I read far too late into the night sometimes. But I need to be kind to myself. So don't need to be critical of myself for doing that. I thought, I'm going to read my book every day. I'm going to 10 minutes in the day, I'm going to read my book. I think I managed to do it twice. And I felt so guilty. Someone said, what are you going? You're going to just sit and read your book? Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, that's a bit. And because I was the only one doing it, it felt like it was maybe a bit naughty, or I shouldn't be doing it. But if everybody on the team had committed to time blocking, that would have been in the day a quick walk and a read of my book would be my half an hour time blocking.
Yeah.
But I think because it wasn't the whole team, I felt like I was doing something I shouldn't be. And I think there's that sense of, get the whole team doing it. Everybody time blocks and everybody talks about what they're doing in the time block. How are you going to use your time block today? Even, you know, you could have that as a stock question. What support do you need today? when's your time block and what you're doing, you know, put those things into your morning briefing as well. I think, you know,
100%.
it's, you've got to have, it's like you're saying with the accountability, but you've got to have the support, haven't you? You need
100%.
to share these things. Now, I know I'd sent you questions at the start of this podcast, John, and I really haven't asked you any of them, have
Yeah, but I just go
I?
with the flow because they always take their
Well,
own flow, the podcast, don't they? And you have a,
that's what I
it's like
try.
teaching, isn't it? It's like
I,
teaching. You have a scaffold, but does it
yeah.
always go? No,
To
because
be
if
honest
people
with
ask you
you,
questions.
I'm just looking at the questions thinking we in our conversation we have really answered most of the questions that I wanted to ask you. But I was finding the podcast is, to me, it's an organic thing. It take it has
Is.
a it has a life of its own and it goes in its own direction. So you just have to bear with that, the
Yeah.
beast that is the podcast, I suppose. But I do want you to tell me about the Edukindness blog and the work you're doing with that, because I'm really interested in you know how that's going. So
Yeah, and I'd like you to make a contribution to that. To anybody, you
yes.
know, just contact me personally because I always pick up my own DMs. I did used to have a PA that looked after all my social, but I reduced that back with other platforms like Instagram and YouTube and focus more on the Twitter. So if there's anybody listening to this, just DM me and or go to the website, you know, kindnessmatters.co.uk. There's a form you can fill out there. It was me and Penny Whelan, who's an amazing assistant head teacher, is one of our Kindness Matters schools down in Luton, Hillsborough Primary School. And we just got talking, same again, is how could we, because we're very aware that energy flows where attention goes, you know. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So it's all a paradigm. So we started saying, you know, what if we could get encourage teachers to get a nice brew on a Saturday morning. Just sit down and read a nice, lovely, you know, kindness blog, all kindness related. But the difference with our kindness blog, which I know you and your listeners will get, is it always starts with self. So you could write a 500-word blog about how you were kind to yourself, an act of kindness you were maybe given, or you gave, or that you witnessed. So it's just them four areas, but it always starts with self. And it's really interesting, yeah, because we've still not had anybody that's focused on themselves. So I'm waiting for someone to actually say, John, I do. This is what I do for myself on a daily basis. Because I know with having such a big following on Twitter and being able to share that in so many DM groups or on Twitter, I know the power of that blog and how it will inspire and motivate someone. So I had to choose the time when to launch it because, you know, I've signed the book deal with Bloomsbury. That comes out on the 2nd of March, The Happy Tank. Plus, there's an independent documentary being done on me. I've got the things in house. Now I'm doing the head teacher conferences, fully booked up until we're going into 2014 now. Got a little bit of wiggle room, but not much, which is good. So, yeah, so now having Edukindness blog. And I've had an inquiry of some, you know, some people who I, you know, some big players on Twitter who are just normal people like you and I, who have a very healthy following and a lovely community of people. And they're contacting me saying, you know, I want to contribute. So I've already got maybe, I think I've got six or seven stacked away already, just starting it slowly. And so the vision is just to be able to share one kindness blog every Saturday morning, 8, half past 8. And where, you know, like-minded educators like ourselves can just give that back to ourselves, sit down, read a lovely blog, cup of tea, slice of toast, whatever tickles your fancy. And just be inspired and motivated from the educator sharing their world with the reader, how they perceive kindness to themselves, to others, or to the wider community. So yeah, that's why it was myself, you know, me and Penny Whelan. We just got talking about it. She said, that's a great idea. And I said, well, I don't know what to do. Will you help me with it? So she, you know, she helped me this time last year, and now it's branded and it's up there on the website and it's all set up so people can get in touch and, you know, ultimately just put more kindness in the world. It's not as if we don't need it.
I think the great thing is as well that it's 500 words. You don't have to, sometimes it can be over-facing when you work in education to have a, I'm sure your books are brilliant and I will definitely be reading this Happy Tank because I think it's something that I'm really focusing on at the minute. But 500 words is accessible, isn't it? It is. You can sit down and read it in a few minutes, and it can just, oh, there's Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
It can just give you that inspiration. Tell me about the documentary then. What's
Yeah,
it about, and how can we watch it?
I had to put it on ice, to be honest with you, because even though he's out filming at this head teachers conference in February, he's hiring the filmmaker because he wants that content as well. It's just where I go back to my old council estate where I grew up and talk about the challenges growing up in a very socially deprived community and the impacts from a young age, you know, taking drugs and failing my education and getting in with the wrong crowd and, you know, these choices that I made, which I talk about in my keynote, which is very inspirational because people just expect me to turn up and talk all kindness and fluffy. And I say, oh, no, you need to listen to the backstory. And then when you see it, there's not a dry eye in the house. But they can relate to it with a lot of children in their care, in their schools that are from them types of communities. And only by the grace of God am I still alive because statistically I should be dead or I should be in and out of jail or a drug addict, which, you know, it's happened to a lot of my friends who was in them sort of same circles growing up. So the documentary focuses on in 2010 and 11, when I went back to my estate, like I said, I'd lost my business in the credit crunch. My marriage broke down in 2008. So I know you and your listeners will probably remember how tough that was when people were queuing around the block from Northern Rock and couldn't get their money out of the bank. And the bank was saying, we've not got your money. It's just
Yeah.
digits. And people were like, excuse me, you got my life savings. So I got kicked off the ladder, as this is so to speak, and had to start again. And I just fell into this huge passion for, you know, supporting the local community and being of service. And this was the start of what I call cutting my teeth to becoming a teacher. And I went back and worked with a group of lads who were all involved in a local gang. And there was just one individual called Dean Scott that I inspired and motivated. And the documentary finishes showing him getting into the Royal Scots Guards, becoming a lance corporal, stood outside Buckingham Palace, coming back from Afghanistan and getting all these medals, you know, men and women from the, and they lost, I think they lost a lady actually who got sadly killed out there. It was a young lady who was part of the Scots Guards. And he just follows that thing about the impact we can have on kids' lives. You know, I didn't have to go back to my council estate. I didn't have to go back. By the grace of God, I got out of that social deprivation and, you know, became a husband and set up my own business and worked hard. And but something told me I had to go back and make a difference. And when I did, I seen the power in being of service, giving to others. You know, I didn't want any money, didn't do it for money, just did it, gave them the most precious thing I own, which is my time and my experience, my life experiences. And you see the impact. And then that's how I became this, you know, the kindness
Yeah.
coach, set up a charity, so on and so forth.
And I think at the moment, particularly with all the, Andrew Tate poison that's going around, a different message to young people of kindness and doing things differently. What the one of the partners of the show, Progressive Masculinity, supports schools to, send a different message to boys and to get them to do things differently. You must be from near me because you definitely have an accent that's from close by.
Yeah, sunny Blackburn, just over back north,
Blackburn. Well,
Blackburn,
I'm just in Bolton, so
sunny Bolton.
yes. So you do sound a bit more Bolton than Blackburn, unless you say
I
Moore's
know I get that
Bore.
a
Do you
lot
say
because
Moore's Bore?
because I've not obviously I've not lived in Blackburn for a number of years, but I do get more of the Bolton twang, and obviously I get the Paddy McGuinness thing when I'm in school. They
Yes,
always
I
go, do you, has anybody ever told you? And I go, here we go again. If I had a pound, and it's
that's my
like.
claim to fame. Paddy McGuinness is my cousin. Well, I think the third removed. We had the same great great grandfather who died in the Battle of the Somme. So I'm related to Paddy McGuinness.
Oh my
Yeah,
goodness. Well, I get it all the time,
interestingly.
honestly, Vicky. So it's, we'll both have to just wear that one, won't we? Because he's not a bad human being, is he? So yeah, I think it's our accent. And especially when you speak down south, it gets even. But I got it in Wigan when I was teaching in those two schools in Wigan last week with Meadowbank and Worsley Mains. And you always get them and they just put their hand up and they go, has anybody? And you're like, really? And I wind them up now. Guess what I do? I said to teachers, I know what you're going to say. And they go, do you? And I go, Peter Kane. And they go, no, Paddy McGuinness. I just wind them up now. So yeah, it's but yeah, it's all good fun.
It has been so great to talk to you. I really don't know where the time has gone. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've really, really enjoyed it. If you could give one piece of advice to the listeners, for something that they can do to be more kind, what would you, I know it's, this is a difficult question, isn't it? Just pick one thing and put you on the spot with it. Oh, well, I've just looked out of the window and it's really snowy here.
Well, I can assure you it's
there's
not snowy
snow
where I
on
am.
All the, no, I know, there's snow on all the trees. Wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, what one thing, one small thing that they could do to start just changing their habits?
Dead easy. They can pre-order my book, The Happy Tank, from the 2nd of March. Seriously. They can, because I'm going to be honest with your listeners now, because I've only shared this with a few people. They can pre-order my book, The Happy Tank, which was written during the lockdown with children on one of the toughest council estates in Blackpool, the Claremont Estate, 17 of our most vulnerable children. And it was them that helped me develop The Happy Tank. And what was really sad was their main worries and anxieties as young children was the SAT and the transition, which was sad. But what my coach and I did from NLP in the Northwest is we looked at the psychology and the information that we got from the children, and then how could we distill that down into child-friendly talk. But we did something quite cute, me and Chris Grimsley. When I wrote the book, we also did it so that the adult, the parent or the carer, was actually getting coaching themselves from reading the book. So when they're teaching the children how to apply the happy habits from the happy tank, which are breathing exercises, self-reflection, kindness, affirmations, gratitude, and happy tapping, which is EFT, the reader, the adult, 100% will learn one of them exercises and go, flipping heck, it works, that stuff. So although they're reading a children's book, they're actually getting therapeutic exercises, which are tried and tested, all based in positive psychology. And as long as you practice them, they work. But what have we just talked about on the podcast? If we don't time block it and we don't make it part of our daily makeup, then what happens is we end up in crisis, we have meltdowns, we're off long-term sick, and we can't face the fear of going back into the workplace where we are very good at making a difference. So it doesn't have to come to that, as long as we make that daily commitment to fill in our happy tanks. So that's what I would say. Get my book, and that's not a plug. That is real life experience, 2 years in a global pandemic, putting a children's book together that has been covertly written also for adults to teach our children how to fill their happy tanks. Because I think if we're being honest with each other, Vicky, there's a lot of teachers and middle leaders and senior leaders not filling their happy tanks. And that breaks my heart, that, because I don't want anybody waking up and having that anxiety and worry. We all have it, it's normal, but let's have less of it.
I totally agree with you. So I know you said you're busy like right into 2024, but I'm sure that after listening to this, people will probably be wanting to connect with you and interested in the work that you do and possibly look at how you could support them. So what do people need to do if they want to get in touch with you to find out more about the work that you do?
Yeah, well, you know, Twitter's the big one, isn't it? Kindness Coach_. Just connect on Twitter, send me a DM. Or if you just visit www.kindnessmatters.co.uk and just ping me an email, and then we start the conversation. There, most schools tend to just want to jump onto the Kindness Matters 30-day challenge, which the online courses are there and the impact they have. Excuse me. They're in the cloud. It's cloud-based learning. Excuse me. I need a drink. I've just spoken for an hour. So yeah, just visit the website, kindnessmatters.co.uk. And it'd be great to have some new Kindness Matters schools come on board. It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think every school in the UK should become a Kindness Matters school. Kindness is just my number one value. So yeah, I'm in support of that.
I wasn't going to do this. Me and Chris Dyson and Drew Porvey and a few others was Phil Denton from Evaluated, great company, and a Pogo. He run an event at Old Trafford. It was incredible, honestly. Dyson was speaking, me and Drew Porvey were having the crack in the background, you know, winding him up. I mean, we were all doing some great networking. Head teacher SL, is it head teacher chat with her? There were lots of people there. It was great to see Turia Bono's book on the stand. Who else? Paul Garvey's book, because they're signed to, is it Crown? And it was just great. And I bumped into Oliver SLT from Twinkle, I've not met a lot of these people in person, but because of lockdown, then everybody was in this room and it was absolutely just fantastic just to see everybody in that space together, and just connected, and connected with kindness. It was just honestly, it was just absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Hang on, I was muted myself, so
Yeah,
because
you
the
sound.
dog was barking. So, thanks so much for joining us. It's been absolutely brilliant to talk to you. Lots of really practical ideas that people can take away and start implementing straight away. But I think the number one thing I'm taking away from it is being kind to yourself. Kindness starts with you, and that's the key thing. Before you do anything else, think about how kind you are to yourself.
Yeah, and when you do that, then you become a kindness coach because you're coaching yourself, aren't you?
Exactly. John, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for your kindness.
I'm sure that you love John as much as I do after listening to that. I just absolutely loved that conversation. John is he's so positive, and especially after he went through such adversity, just to pull himself back and do what he does now, I just think that's amazing. So thank you so much to John for taking the time to talk to us today. There are a couple of things that he talked about. I mean, I reinforced it at the end of the interview. It's the importance of being kind to yourself and actually there being a paradigm shift in the way we see ourselves so that we see ourselves in a much more positive light and so that we're much kinder to ourselves. And it's so true that we would never speak to other people, our friends or our family, in the way that we speak to ourselves. And we really have to question that. If you've been quite cruel to yourself or you've been really negative with yourself, just stop and think about that because it's so important that kindness starts with you. And it really is about your well-being. It's about looking after yourself. So be kind to yourself first. And just the quote that John just reminded us of. It's that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I think that's really important. It's about taking charge of your own perspective on things. And I remember there's a little cartoon, and I absolutely love this cartoon. And it's just two little figures, and one has got a little jar, and it says happiness on the jar. And the other person is saying, "Oh, where did you get that?" And the person with the kindness jar says, "Oh, I made it for myself." And it just reinforces how we create our own emotions and how, we are in charge of the way that we think. It's not always easy. It's not always easy to change the way you think. And it is an ongoing process. And you can only do it with practice. But it's so important that you do it. Be kind to yourself. I know, easier said than done, but really just try to be kind to yourself. And John's book, The Happy Tank, is now available to purchase. So if you go on John's Twitter feed, you will find there how you can get his book, The Happy Tank. It looks amazing, and I think it's so good for young people to start thinking about how they are responsible for their own happiness. However, what I do think is we're doing lots of work at the moment in the well-being space with young people, thinking about how they can look after their mental health better, do more emotional check-ins with themselves, the self-regulation or zones of regulation. And I think that we need to do a lot more of that as adults as well, because it's really not something we were taught how to do at school. And sometimes as adults, we are very bad at regulating our emotions. So maybe that's something that we need to start focusing on as well. As I say, if you're interested in any of the services that I offer with regard to coaching for school leaders, one-to-one coaching, head teacher coaching, team coaching, get in touch with me. It's vicky@weleadwell.co.uk or on the website weleadwell.co.uk. Did you notice what I did there? And I would be very happy to have a chat with you. We can see if there's a way that I can help you in your school to implement some coaching approaches. But that is all we've got time for today, other than to say it's definitely getting lighter and spring is definitely on the way. I've seen lots of snowdrops and I've actually seen the shoots of daffodils, and when I see the daffodils then I know that spring is here. So do have a great week, and I will speak to you next time. Take care of yourself, take care of your staff, and lead well.
This episode of the We Lead Well podcast was brought to you in partnership with Progressive Masculinity and headteacherchat.com.